So our Old Testament lesson this morning is taken from 1 Samuel, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10, and then 19 through 21. Let us listen for the word of God. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. And our second scripture lesson is taken from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to Rome and to we who are assembled here this morning. Reading from chapter 10, verses 8 through 18. Again, let us listen for the word of the Lord. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." But not all have obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. May the Lord bless to our hearts and to our understanding these readings of his holy word, for this is the word of the Lord. the name of the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So over 80 years ago, Jed Harris was a successful producer of plays. And one of his successful works was the production of Thornton Wilder's play, Our Town. And in the middle of a lengthy season mixed with the intense pressures of many details, Harris began to lose his sense of hearing. He could not even hear what other people close to him were saying, and so he was missing crucial details during conversations. So as a result, Jed Harris decided to pay a visit to a renowned audiologist who listened attentively as the producer narrated the sad account of his declining ability to hear. And after a thorough examination of Harris's ears, the hearing specialist drew out from his vest an expensive gold-coated pocket watch and placed it against the producer's ear. "Do you hear this watch ticking?" the audiologist asked. "Absolutely," the producer responded. So the audiologist moved further away and held the watch up to his office door. Harris focused and remarked, "Yeah, it's quite audible." So then the physician walked into the next room and then asked, "Well, how about now? Can you hear it?" "It's still audible," Harris replied. So the specialist went back into the office, returned the watch to his vest. He says, "This phenomenon is quite commonplace," he said, "especially among successful individuals. Your hearing is excellent, Mr. Harris. You simply quit listening." So do you know anyone like that? They don't have a hearing problem, but they most certainly do have a listening problem. Obviously, some people do have hearing problems. That happens, of course, especially later on in life. But not nearly as often as people missing messages simply because they do not listen to one another. Robert Holden, in his book Happiness Now, tells about a husband and a wife, both in their late 70s, who decided after 55 years of marriage to divorce. And when their counselor asked them why, well, the wife issued a catalog of reasons. "He never asked if I'm happy," said the wife. "Well, I assumed you were," said the husband. "He never says he loves me," said the wife. "I thought you knew I loved you," said the husband. And then the wife continued, "He never says I'm beautiful." And the husband replied, "I look at you every day and admire your beauty." "We rarely talk," said the wife. "Well, I know you like to read a lot," said the husband. "Well, I read because you don't talk," said the wife. And there was a pause. "And we never go out," said the wife. "Well, I thought you'd like to stay in," said the husband. "Well, I only stay in because I'm waiting to go out," said the wife. And the counselor continued to take notes. "He's also very mean to me," said the wife. "Well, in what way?" said the counselor. "Well, at breakfast, 3 times a week for 55 years, he always serves me the crust of the loaf, and I hate bread crusts." And the husband was distraught. He says, "Well, I give you the crust, my dear, because that is my favorite part of the loaf." Well, what we have here, says the familiar movie line, is a failure to communicate. Communication is so vital to successful living. There's a beautiful story in the Bible about someone who spent a lifetime listening. In his case, though, he was listening to God. Remember the story of the boy Samuel from your Sunday school days. It begins with a very touching scene of a holy woman named Hannah pleading with God to allow her to bear a son, and because she's barren. And Hannah made a vow that if God would allow her to bear a son, she would give the boy to the service of God all the days of his life. And some time passed, and God answered his prayer. She conceived and bore a son, calling his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." And Hannah followed through on her promise to give Samuel to God. As soon as he was weaned, Samuel was placed under the care and training of an old priest named Eli. Eli was gradually losing his vision, but he was faithful in his teaching of young Samuel, and he also gave Samuel light duties around the tabernacle. And so one night, when Samuel was about 11 years old, he had a life-changing experience. He was lying there in the house of the Lord, trying to go to sleep, when he heard a voice in the night. He runs to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down, and again the voice called Samuel. And once again Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now, Samuel had been studying about God, the record indicates, but he did not yet know God. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, it says. That's interesting, don't you think? I mean, could there be many people, including many adults in church, who have studied about God, but do not know God? I wonder. Maybe it's because we have not been listening for God's voice. So a third time, the voice in the night called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then says the scripture, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's a beautiful story about the call of one of Israel's great prophets. God spoke, Samuel listened. And the 19th verse of that chapter says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground." In other words, Samuel, who listened to God, had a lifelong relationship with God and a fruitful ministry. And so today we want to spend just a few moments dealing with the sacred power of a listening heart. Wonderful things happen sometimes when we're willing to listen. And the first thing we need to note is that listening is not the same as hearing. Hearing refers to the sounds that enter your ears. It's a physical process that, provided you do not have any hearing problems, happens automatically. But listening, however, requires more than that. It requires focus and concentrated effort. An 80-year-old grandfather went to his daughter's house for Sunday dinner. When the meal was over, he announced that he was going to take a walk through the neighborhood. "I'll be back in 20 minutes," he said. But 2 hours had passed before he finally returned. "Sorry, I'm late," he said, "but I stopped to talk to an old friend, and he just wouldn't stop listening." But I like that. Some people will not stop talking, but blessed is the person who will not stop listening. Because that's a wonderful gift to give to someone, to listen to them that intently. And the greatest honor you can pay someone is to really listen to them. As David Augsburger, a theology professor, once said, "An open ear is the only believable sign of an open heart." An open ear is the only believable sign of an open heart. Listening is not the same as hearing. Listening requires intent. It requires focus. Our common problem is that instead of listening closely to what someone is saying, we often get distracted after a sentence or two and instead start to think about what we're going to say in reply. And this means that we do not listen to the rest of what the other person is saying. And you can see how treacherous this can be. Listening is so important that many top employers provide listening skills training for their employees. And that's not surprising when you consider that good listening skills can lead to better consumer satisfaction, greater productivity with fewer mistakes, and increased sharing of information. And that in turn can lead to a more creative and innovative workplace. So I think we can all agree, hearing is not the same thing as listening. Listening to someone is a way of saying, you are important to me. You matter. Author and radio teacher Chuck Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. So in his book, Stress Fractures, he tells about getting nervous and tense about it. He says, I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout the day. And before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. In fact, I distinctly remember, he said, after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that happened to her at school that day. So she began hurriedly, Daddy, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. And suddenly realizing her frustration, Swindoll answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. And he says, I'll never forget her answer because she said, then listen slowly. What she wanted to know was if her dad cared enough about her to really listen to her. And that's what many people hunger for. When we listen to them, really listen, we are saying, you matter to me. You are important to me. And of course, the most important listening we can do is to listen to God. It's interesting how much time Jesus spent in prayer. Obviously, he believed listening to the voice of God was important. And God's deepest wish, it's his deepest wish to direct his children toward positive, fulfilling lives. But many of us don't listen well. And so we miss out on some of life's greatest joys. Nancy tells of going out to dinner with a man named Doug in Washington, D.C. years ago. Doug told her about a 30-year-old insurance executive he met at a party. Doug learned that this young man, Bob, was a new Christian. So intrigued, he asked, How things were going? Have you found a church? He asked. Yes, Bob said. Have you found a Bible study? Yes, I found one of those too. And finally, Doug asked, how about your relationship with God in prayer? Well, Bob didn't have much going on there, and he said he didn't know much about it. So Doug laid out a challenge for him, to pick something to pray over every day for the next 6 months. The prayers could be elaborate or simple, structured or freeform, listening to or speaking to God, whatever. But Bob must pray at least briefly every day. And if at the end of 6 months, God has not done something truly significant, Doug told him, I will then pay you $500. So Bob accepted the challenge, but he didn't know what to pray for. Bob and his wife lived in Washington, D.C. What with the city's international flavor, they chose a different land to pray for every day. So along those lines, Bob decided to pray daily for Kenya. Not much happened for 4 or 5 months. The prayer experiment was yielding little. And then one night he sat next to a woman at a dinner party, and she was from Kenya. She ran an orphanage. Bob related that he felt as though ice water was suddenly running through his veins. He had been fantasizing about how to spend the $500 Doug had promised him. But suddenly he had a strange image of a wad of $500 sprouting wings and flying away. And he asked for details about the orphanage and listened to her answers for a full, intense hour. She told Bob that no one had ever shown such interest. Would he consider flying to Kenya to see it firsthand? So to make a long story short, Bob ended up providing for the care of those Kenyan children and seeing to the supplying of that orphanage. He made such a splash that the president of Kenya invited him to his palace. And there Bob advocated for prisoners of conscience in that country. And later those prisoners were released. And the U.S. Secretary of State called Bob and asked him how he did it. The United States government had been unsuccessfully seeking for their freedom for some time. But it was no mystery to Bob how it came about. God had guided him to pray for Kenya, and wonderful things were happening. If you and I were truly listening to God, we would see wonderful things happen in our lives too. Hearing isn't the same as listening. When we listen to someone, we're saying, "You are really important to me. You matter." And the most important listening we can do is to listen to God, because God's deepest wish is to direct us to a positive and fulfilling life. If that's not happening in our lives, maybe it's because we're not listening to Him. Remember what Paul said? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It says in the book of Romans. Notice he didn't say that faith comes from talking or doing. Faith comes from hearing. And that happens when we listen. The old prophet Eli told young Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." What an eloquent yet powerful prayer. So are you listening to the people around you, especially those closest to you? But more importantly, are you listening to God? Because a positive, fulfilling life awaits you. Just listen. Amen. If you are a witness of God's love in your life, this is an opportunity to express your gratitude for the giving of time.